I can Hello? Show you the world.
Why don't I hear me?
Shining, shimmering movies. Tell me, Brandon, when did you last? Let your eyes decide. I can open your mind.
Do, 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 do.
Take you film by film. Over, sideways, and under. On a magic movie ride. The Film Twits Podcast.
Don't you dare turn us off.
We'll be here for you all the time. Yeah, that's it.
Well, once or twice a month.
Yeah, you know, here and there. So.
Film Twits. Ding. I don't remember how to do this.
Well, I think the main thing is just talk until we figure it out.
Ah, talking. Hello, everybody. We're finally back after a very long winter break. Way too long. We haven't recorded in like 2 months.
It's been a while.
We are the Film Twits Podcast, and if you look us up on Facebook or Twitter or even Instagram, you will find us. So please do that and give us a like and a follow and some nice feedback. My name is Brandon. I'm hosting the episode, and I've got my good friend Caleb with me. Hello, Caleb.
Hello, Brandon, and hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is good to be back talking to you and you and you and you and you.
I think that was one too many.
That's our audience. Oh, true, yeah. Maybe one or two less, but anyways.
And maybe even one less for this episode because...
Oh, yeah.
We do not have the third member of our team.
Our dearly departed friend, Dave. I mean, he's still alive. He's not here right now, so.
He unfortunately couldn't make it for this episode. But we will do our best to be doubly entertaining.
As the British would say, boring. we will use our stiff upper lip and keep on chugging.
Keep on trucking.
That's right.
So... news recently came out that they are going to come out with a sequel to the live-action remake of Aladdin. And as Caleb shakes his head, and I with him, we thought it was it would probably be a good time to talk about the first live-action remake. We hadn't done that yet, so...
Seems timely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Caleb... Do you want to start off by telling us why you love it so much?
Oh, the remake?
Yeah.
Yeah, the remake of Aladdin is fantastic. It's got so much creativity and life and originality and...
Your eye is twitching.
Yeah, for some reason, I think it's the fan in here. It's not that I'm lying out of my... You know, my butt or anything. I really do love the movie. No, I don't hate the new remake, but I don't think it stands up to the original at all. Words I think that you and I have used describing it would be lazy, flat, unoriginal. Of course, because it's a remake. But even. There are a lot of remakes that do things differently than the original. It's like I said, it just feels lifeless. And for the most part, most of the Disney live action remakes feel that way. They feel like a inferior carbon copy of the animated film that they're being remade of, and it's kind of sad because those films, you know, they've been such a big part of our childhood and you know, growing up and everything, and looking back on them and watching them even today, you can still get a sense of wonderment, adventure, excitement, because they are well-made products.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes me a little bit sad. You look at the history of the Disney animated movies, they've been making them for decades. Mm-hmm. Like the last two or three generations had their Disney movies that they grew up with that came out when they were growing up. And
yeah,
the kids right now, I mean, there is some, but it's like their Disney movies are these live action remakes, and I don't know. It bums me out a little bit.
Yeah. It seems to me like Disney really doesn't want to take any chances anymore. At least with their own products. Like, you know, I know with the Pixar films that they're more or less willing to try to be adventurous or do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, Disney doesn't. I mean, the last movie that I really thought was a, you know, different original take for Disney was Zootopia.
True.
Which I enjoyed Zootopia quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But just like for the past 3 years, whatever, however long they've been doing the live action remakes, it's just seemed like, let's just go back to the well. We've already got the story. We've already got the ingrained character development and support that these characters should earn. But the audience knows the IP. They know the characters. Yeah. They know everything.
It's an easy sell.
So it's an easy sell.
I think exactly. More often now, and there are exceptions, I'm sure, but more often now, I think Disney is more concerned with making money than telling a good story. And I know every studio, that's the business. They do it to make money. That's the reality of the world. You have a business to make money, but, you know, movies exist because of people with a passion to tell the story and mm-hmm. people that want to enjoy, you know, watch the movies and, see a good story. And when, with these remakes, when they are almost a shot for shot remake, it's an easy buck. Like I said, mm-hmm. they know that there are plenty of us parents that have, well, anybody, you don't have to be a parent. Any of us that love the old Disney movies.
Grew up with them.
And it's going to be familiar to us. We already know the mm-hmm. characters. They don't hardly have to add anything to it in their mind to get us dummies in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working as, you know, the reviews I think have been mixed with each of them, but I think there is a pretty large group that feels this way, that they're a waste. They don't add anything to the old movies. But there's still plenty of people that are still buying the tickets and they're going to see it. And so, of course, Disney's going to keep on doing it. I'm really going on a rant way earlier than I meant to.
Oh, no, you're good. it's predominantly based on nostalgia. They, just like you said, they know that the parents of these kids grew up with these movies, and so they're going to want to say, oh, well, I want to see that because I remember that, and I remember mm-hmm. that song, and I remember that thing, and I remember that thing. And then the kids, you know, maybe they've seen the movie before, the original, maybe they haven't. But they're counting on that nostalgia to bring people back into the theater or bring people, you know, to buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray. Yeah. The problem is that it feels completely bereft, completely empty of, you know, any sort of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no heart. Or creativity. There's no heart to it.
Yeah.
Everything is so dry and flat. And I really, I really came into this, this feeling when I saw The Lion King, the remake of The Lion King, because the movie was a shot-for-shot remake of the original Lion King movie.
Yeah.
But it was done in quote-unquote live action, which it wasn't live action.
Which is funny. It's just the more modern animation.
Exactly. It's another animated movie, but it looks real, so they say live action, which is fine. But the thing about it is that they didn't take any risks. They literally had shots that were the exact same as the original movie, but they took away they took away the emotion and the engagement of the scene. The characters had no you know, expressions because they were lions and you know, wild boar and
hyenas?
Timon is. I can't remember.
What is Timon?
He's a meerkat. There we go. And so all of these animals just look and they give their lines and it's just said. There's no emotion to tell if they're happy or sad or scared or excited. So everything is just so dead and flat. And you're just like, I'm just watching a nature documentary, pretty much.
I wonder if that is one of my issues, hearing you say that. I wonder if that's one of my problems with, is it Abu or Abu?
Abu, right?
The monkey in Aladdin. He just kind of, he doesn't work for me, and I wonder if that's part of it.
Well, it's obvious, too, because he looks awful. He doesn't look like a real monkey.
Yeah.
And neither does the parrot. The parrot scared me half the time. Not scared me, but I'm just saying it looked terrifying. It was like, this is not what a parrot looks like. And that was another thing, is that they completely robbed Iago of his character.
Yeah.
Which, you know, everybody talks about the genie, which that's my favorite part of Aladdin as well, as Robin Williams. But yeah. Gilbert Godfrey as Iago is one of the best parts of the movie. He's very funny. He's very, you know, comical. He has that sidekick, like, to the bad guy comedy relief to him.
Yeah. And he's got his own personality and, like, full lines. He's not just a parrot talking like a parrot.
He even contributes to the plot. Whereas in this movie, the parrot's just there, just like, doing stuff.
You know what, though? This is one of my things that popped up on second viewing, popped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
When Aladdin breaks into the palace earlier on, and Iago saw him, and so he goes to tell Jafar, and Jafar looks out the window and sees Aladdin doing his parkour thing across the buildings, and Iago goes, diamond in the rough. How does he know that Aladdin is a diamond in the rough? There's no explanation for that. Like, he has some kind of magic parrot vision.
Yeah, who knows?
Shows,
I mean,
him.
In the original, there was actual scenes that broke down why Aladdin was the diamond in the rough. And in this one, it's just like, well, you know, he is. And you know the story, so we'll just have the parrot say it. It's lazy. It's flat.
Yeah, you know the story, so they don't go through the trouble of...
Which is the
explaining
whole
it. There's
whole
a lot of that in this movie.
For you know, the whole movie is lazy.
Yeah.
It's very just by the numbers. Let's just, you know the story, you know the characters, you know the blah, blah, blah. And the changes they make to the film is so minuscule and not even
really even fit.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Some of it does, but... Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it. We'll talk about it, but yeah, it's just that's how I see these live action remakes. The only one that I think looks any different and might actually be worth making and worthwhile is Mulan.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because they're trying to make it more like the the poem that it's based on and the actual story,
mm-hmm.
and not the 90s movie.
Which part of
me is sad because, you know, they're taking away that those elements of the film that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
But another part of me is like, well, it's going to be different. It's going to strive to be different.
The film
and I'm like, okay.
Because I get that. That feeling of you want the new one to be true to the characters and,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, some people want the familiar songs and all that because they love that old movie. But the thing is, that old movie is still there.
You can go,
right?
And
it's
plug
not
it
going
in and watch
away.
It.
It's still
yeah.
there and it's still your beloved movie. These new ones, and why I agree with you with Mulan, it looks like it's more of an adaptation of the mm-hmm. story rather than a remake of the animated movie.
Yeah.
And
that's what they all should be.
Right. When Cinderella came out, and we went to see that, I really enjoyed it. It was before I knew, well, I think it was before anybody knew that there was going to be this new wave of all the, animated movies being remade into live action. Cause there had been a couple here and there. They had done 101 Dalmatians years mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah, with Glenn Close, yeah.
I don't remember where Pete's Dragon is in the timeline.
That came out pretty recently.
Yeah, it might have been after. But anyway, Cinderella, as far as I knew, it was just its own standalone, oh, hey, here's a live-action mm-hmm. remake of Cinderella. And when you watch it, you don't feel like you're watching a live-action version of the animated movie. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the same story, but told in their way. It's their adaptation of it. And then Jungle Book came and it's similar. Like there's a lot that they took from the animated movie,
mm-hmm.
but there's also some that they took from the book. And I think it's kind of rearranged a little bit. The music isn't all the same.
Mm-hmm.
It was clearly, you know, the same story or whatever, but it was their own version of it.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I'm actually kind of excited. Oh, Beauty and the Beast is coming. And I remember when that trailer first came out and you saw, I don't know what it is. You saw the live action rose in the glass mm-hmm. thingy, and Belle walks up and, it was, I think that was like the entire teaser,
mm-hmm.
but you were excited because it was familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And it got you excited to see
the
movie.
That and that and
yeah,
that and that.
But then the movie comes out and you go, wow, that was exactly the same movie. It
mm-hmm.
it didn't improve on it at all. There was what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it seems like everyone since then has been like that for me.
And Emma Watson couldn't sing worth nothing.
Well,
she was awful.
Yeah, and I think it's the same problem that I have with the music in Aladdin.
Yeah.
Like they just don't have any energy behind their voices.
Everything feels fake. It's all auto-tuned. Like you immediately it starts and you're like, "Oh wow, that sounds fake."
And it's weird cuz Will Smith is a singer.
Yeah.
But you can't help but while you're watching a scene where he's singing, you can't help but hear Robin Williams in your head
mm-hmm.
and think, oh man, he was so much more
energetic.
And
yeah.
I don't know. What's her name? Naomi Scott?
Yeah, Naomi Scott, yeah.
I thought she did okay. There's a couple places where she's kind of, I don't know, singing out of her nose. But
a little bit, yeah.
There's a couple notes that are, you know, she was supposed to really like push out
mm-hmm.
and be strong.
But she is
and
an actual singer, so I mean.
Oh, is she?
Uh huh. Yeah. So I mean, I think out of everybody, she did the best job.
She did the best,
to
but
where
it's still...
it sounded, you know, at least right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. I did not care for the music in the film, especially A Whole New World, because out of all the music in the movie, besides Friend Like Me, that's my favorite song of any of them. I've sung that song so many times and know it off the top of my head that just like hearing it when it started playing and he's he's just so flat in the start there. And I think it's because of his accent, too. He's from Canada. And you can really kind of tell his Canadianisms. Nothing against Canada, but I'm just saying he's not a singer, and you can tell.
Yeah.
They should have done like what they did in the original movie and gotten like professional singers as their, or as his part at least.
Well, he sang the version in the movie. They had a radio version that was redone by professional singers. But it's him singing in the movie, isn't it?
No, that's what I'm saying. They should have had someone else sing his part in the movie. Like they did in the original.
No, I'm saying in the original.
You're talking about the animated movie?
Yeah, in the animated one. I thought it was the actor that was singing.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I thought it was Donny Osmond. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Donny Osmond sang the Mulan song.
Oh.
I'm going to make a man out of you.
Oh, well, that I didn't know
what's his name. Yeah, sorry. Huh. Mixing up all the Disney movies.
Yeah.
but anyways, getting past the songs, do you have any positives before we really start hammering in these negatives?
My natural inclination when I see a movie
is to be more positive.
I want to be positive, and I want to appreciate the movie for what it is.
That's me too.
I have a hard time with this one. I can't help but compare it to the old one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites. It's so I don't know that
it is
that
might my be absolute of favorite of the classic Disney movies. I've watched it so many times.
Is it? It's definitely my wife's.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't. She wasn't happy with this one. but I'm doing positives. Let's see. Some of the time, I liked Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
When he first came out of the bottle, I think they were trying to make him similar to the Robin Williams version.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little more cartoony and over the top and silly. And yeah. When he's like that, in this one, when Will Smith is like that, I don't like it. There are other parts where he's more like him, and I think a lot of the time he does a good job. It's like when it doesn't feel like he's trying.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
there are certain parts in the movie, it's like he knows he's filling those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I don't know, you can tell.
He's trying as hard as he can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But there are other parts. Some of it is some of the newer scenes. So mm-hmm. obviously there was nothing to compare it to. So he was just able to be himself. And I thought he did a good job. Talking about changes, I don't mind this part of the story they added where he, oh, by the way, there's going to be spoilers in this for the remake of Aladdin.
Oh gosh, yeah, we probably said a bunch of spoilers already.
I always just assume.
Yeah.
If we're talking about a movie, we're talking about the entire movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
So if the title is in, or if the movie is in the title of our episode, just expect spoilers.
Yeah.
And probably others that
so spoilers going forward.
Yeah. So the genie ends up with what's her face, the servant, Jasmine.
Yeah, the maid. Yeah,
I like that. I was because those two, Will Smith and I just looked up her name.
That's okay.
The servant. I thought I was gonna burp. They're two of my favorite characters in this movie. I think that I really thought Jasmine did a good job too.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from her, I felt like the servant and the genie were probably the two best played characters in the movie.
Yeah,
so
I can agree with that.
I don't know. I guess I was rooting for them. So when they had their happy ending together, it made me happy.
Yeah.
So I did like that.
It was an interesting change from the original.
I think that is the only positive that I have in my notes.
Wow, really? Okay. Yeah, I can understand that.
I'm torn on Jasmine's changes because, like, just the fact that they make her a little more. She wants to be independent. She wants to be the Sultan.
Mm-hmm.
She's sick of being the princess who's better to be seen than heard. You know,
yeah.
I get all that. And I don't mind her new song for the most part. It doesn't quite fit in this movie style-wise. I feel like it stands out, but is it just because I know all the other songs? Maybe. But,
yeah,
but I you know, I don't mind her changes. And there was nothing, I don't feel like it was too in your face or nothing. I know some people complain about the girl power. I don't feel like it was overdone.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I'm torn over is the movie is called Aladdin. It's Aladdin's story.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, she's obviously part of it because they get together and all that, but it's supposed to be primarily about him mm-hmm. and his growth and his, you know, whatever, winning at the end. And so who's the main character, him or her? So I don't know. That's a little, like maybe that should have been her own movie or a different character, but in its own movie rather than in this movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. I did like her. I thought she was well cast as Jasmine.
Yeah.
And like I've already said, I think she was the best singer out of the whole cast. But I can understand what you're saying. I think that whole mentality of where it ends in the end, where she becomes Sultan, basically, and she makes the decisions and everything.
Yeah.
It really clashes with that whole, like, how in that time and that country, their whole worldview of that is not what the movie presented.
Yeah.
And so to do that just feels like not authentic.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, even in the original Aladdin, they didn't make him Sultan. Like, he didn't become king all of a sudden. They were just together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just, I don't know, it felt really, I guess forced would be the best word, even though, not the message of it, but just how the execution came across. It's like, that really wouldn't work in the grand scheme of things in that particular circumstance. But I did like her. Besides that, I liked, I liked Will Smith, you know, for some scenes and other scenes I thought he was really annoying. There are a couple of scenes towards the end where they're sincere scenes, and I think he really does do a good job of being sincere and really doing a good job of being the small amount of heart that you can see in the film.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, those scenes were done so much better by Robin Williams in the original that it's just like comparing apples to oranges.
True.
For that fact.
I was thinking about, this kind of hit me yesterday. I was thinking about it, and it's funny because as much problems as I have with Will Smith as the genie, I remember being pretty happy for him at the end when he got his freedom. Like, I don't know. I was really excited, and that was the big climactic part of the movie for me.
But was that because you were happy for that particular genie, or was that because you knew the scene was coming and you were just like, this is good? I'm glad the genie became free.
Yeah, I think that it is partly because of this genie, because there are so many other parts of the movie I knew were coming, but I didn't care when they came because the way that it was done in this movie. But with him, since it, you know, for me and what I felt in that scene compared to the rest of the movie, it makes me feel like it's Will Smith that kind of got to me by then in the movie. He I don't know, he played the human part of it so well by then. I really liked him and I rooted him for him.
Yeah. Will Smith is very charismatic.
So I give him, you know, it's probably both.
Yeah.
Knowing the story, but also rooting for him specifically. Yeah. I'll give him the credit. I got so many bad points with this movie. I should
give them credit where I can. We have a whole steam train coming on
that. Just talking about him, I don't understand the CGI blue genie. I don't know why it couldn't have been his actual body. He's a muscular dude.
I mean, dude, do we want to get there? We want to start off with that.
I don't know. I was just thinking about it because we were talking about.
We might as well. I mean, I've already gave my positives. I like Jasmine, and I like the genie sometimes. I thought that sometimes the city it looked like it almost looked like a matte painting, which I thought was nice. And it felt more, I don't know. I don't know the best way to say this. It felt more, grandiose than the Agrabah that we see in the original, because it's kind of tiny in the original, you know, like right there in the middle. It's like, it's a city you can tell, but with this, it feels like a whole country almost.
That's true.
Because it fills the screen, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like when she goes to Aladdin's home at the beginning and she looks out from his balcony or whatever.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of the set decoration and the, what's the word? Just the look and feel of like every day on the street and the marketplace and even the palace at times, like it felt appropriate to the time, setting, and place, and in general felt like a good live action representation of those things.
That's interesting because down like in the market or even his home.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I might be fine with the palace, but that whole first part of the movie down in the market to me
felt pretty cheap to you.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm looking at stage decorations.
I gotcha.
Really well done, but it didn't feel real.
It didn't
to me.
Feel
it
like
felt
that
like
to
a
you.
Set. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would say. In the grander scheme of things, it's the wide shots that really felt that way to me. And I feel a lot of that has to do with just the limitations, even though we talk about how wonderful the animation is, and sometimes the animation has limitations. And I think like with what I'm saying is the background. At times in the original felt not as widespread and grandiose as some moments in this film did.
Yeah.
That's a tiny, very minute, small nitpick criticism I have of the original.
Yeah.
Now let's get our own genie out, our genie of the horribleness of this film. And let him grant the wishes of all the people wanting to know why this film is really bad. And we can start off with the top one, the one you just brought up, the CGI. CGI in this film is atrocious.
And it's like, I mean, this is the biggest movie company ever, and they've got so much money to spend on graphics, and some things look so good.
And the thing is that we know that they will spend the money on the things that they feel like are going to get the most money.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, just imagine if they had made the genie look more like, or not look more like Thanos, but like if they put the amount of effort and money and time into the genie like they did Thanos. Thanos came off as like an actual breathing, living character.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the genie is like, wow, this just a floating, like zipping around, like computer effect.
With this one, as long as they just check the boxes, as long as they just make it good enough, People yeah. will go see it and they've made their money. Who cares?
Yeah. And job unfortunately, is done. You know, Disney is not Sony, where they're going to change the whole character design because everyone online hates it.
Yeah.
So, looking at you, Sonic. But, Which
I've
yeah,
not yet seen, by the way.
I haven't either. I've heard very good to mixed things about it, so who knows?
My brother really liked it.
To me, it looks like, I mean, we're not going to get sidetracked. Come on, Brandon.
That's what we do.
I know.
That's why it's the sidetrack.
It's not good. We're just not the sidetrack podcast. What are you talking about? Welcome to the sidetrack podcast. It looks to me like an early 2000s like movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, the genie looked really bad, but there were moments where he looked okay. So it wasn't like the whole time it was just awful.
Part of it to me is just the decision. Why yeah. make his upper body CGI?
Yeah.
Or another actor. I don't even know how they did it, but why? It just looks weird.
Why not put money into getting a, oh my gosh. Why do I keep losing my mind?
You're getting old.
Like a trained monkey. Like why animate the monkey the whole time?
Oh, I was like, to be the genie?
Yeah. To be the genie, yeah. Or the parrot. Like, these yeah. things are real life yeah. things that you don't have to CGI.
What did you think of the Cave of Wonders on the outside, the tiger head?
I mean, it looked fine. Besides, the lighting was awful.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looked okay. It reminded me of the cartoon.
It's one of those things. There were
that whole scene.
Even
is
though I didn't mean to.
Bad though.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do this, but there were certain parts of the movie that I was really looking forward to because of what I remember from the old
yeah.
one. And that yeah.
yeah,
that lion head or tiger, whatever he is, when he came up off of the ground and he talked.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! It looked so cool, and his
yeah.
voice was so deep mm-hmm. and echoey. And
you're
I was
talking about the original,
yeah, the
yeah.
animated one.
Yeah.
And so with this one, I was looking forward to this scene.
Oh my goodness!
Because well, shoot, here we are, 20 something years later.
They
well,
flubbed it.
Yeah, 20 something years later.
Yeah.
27 years.
Yeah, 27 years later.
Yeah, and how much further along have we come? This is going to mm-hmm. blow my mind, and it. It really let me down.
It's an afterthought. Like, they make it into a montage. It's like, here's this scene in the background while you watch the parrot float by. I was like, what is happening? This is one of the most, you know, momentous scenes of the movie. It's one of the opening credits.
Yeah.
It sets up the whole Diamond
You're talking
in the
about
Rough
the initial,
subplot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you first see the
It
cave.
Introduces us to Jafar.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great scene, and it's
yeah.
like... Yeah, there's the scene. There's the big head. And,
I can't even... like, if you
does.
Didn't know the story, if you hadn't seen the old one, and you watch
yeah.
that scene...
It's like...
Okay, you hear the cave say, bring me the
okay,
whatever.
I don't...
But
what
then
that
Jafar
for?
Just looks kind of, aw, and he shakes his head a little bit, and then they move on.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know anything...
It's just like,
What did I just see?
Okay.
What does that scene even mean?
We just... That happened, I guess. Okay. Yeah, it's really... it's really sad, but... Yeah, what else? The inside of the Cave of Wonders I thought looked awful. It just didn't... It
also felt very shallow.
It felt really
it
shallow.
It didn't feel... The cartoon
yeah.
felt huge.
Like, it's a huge, monumental cave.
Yeah.
And in this one, it just feels like, I don't know, maybe about
this
the size of a football stadium.
I get so irritated.
And it, continuing on, it looked fake. Like, the rocks didn't look real. They had the fake-looking jewels
yeah.
in there.
So, let's
like,
go
I mean,
and...
Let's compare this to... And I know it's a little different because it's not all rocks. But let's compare it to the scene where Bilbo goes to see Smaug in The Desolation of Smaug
uh-huh.
in the Hobbit films. I mean, he walks through that doorway, and it's this huge... you know, palace, jade stone
yeah.
and coins and
thinking,
gold
my
everywhere.
My first thought was, How long did it take, like in the story, how long did it take them to carve this out and put this together?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Exactly. Because it feels like a real breathing world.
Yeah.
And in this, it's like, wow, this looks so bad and fake.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, and it's another part is that it, to go along with what you're saying with empty, you don't see gold everywhere.
Yeah, true.
Like in the original, gold is everywhere because that's the whole point of it. As the tiger says, only touch the lamp.
Yeah.
Don't touch anything else.
It's a huge temptation because.
Exactly, because there's jewels everywhere.
It's the cave of wonders.
Exactly.
Not cave of a handful of diamonds.
And you see Abu and he's just like looking like left to right with these wonderful expressions where you can say, he's really greedy. He's wanting this really bad.
I haven't seen the animated Aladdin in years, but watching this monkey makes me, I can see the animated one in my head.
And like his big tongue even comes out at a moment where he's just like, like when he sees this huge red jewel, you know, because it's like he's like Aladdin. They've been orphans their whole life. They've been destitute.
And they've
never seen something like this.
And so while we're on him and the two of them together in the cartoon, like they're best buds. They are all they both have in this world.
Exactly.
And so the monkey hates that stupid rug.
Mm-hmm. Because it's coming in and between
them. He's so jealous of Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie,
he's an afterthought.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
Shoot, he's him an and the rug were like best buds from the beginning.
He takes after all these, you know, these different things. Whereas what I'm saying is he's not complex.
Yeah.
He's a very one-dimensional character in this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a trend in this film. A lot of them are one-dimensional characters.
It's so ironic, too, because it's like they took the opportunity with this remake of adding more what they saw as depth to Jafar. There's a little bit more.
When I get to Jafar.
Yeah, and there's a little bit more to Jasmine. And there's a little... Wait. Do they add more to Genie?
I mean, they gave him a romantic side
plot. He's got more of his own story. But it's just ironic in a movie where they, because also it's like at least a half hour longer than the old one. They added so much, but at the same time,
they took so much away.
Took so much away.
Yeah.
And none of it works.
They really did. I mean, the editing in this thing is atrocious. Because,
man, what in the world is up with that stupid, the riffraff song when the guards are chasing them through the town?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, he and Jasmine are walking down this alley and it looks, well, it doesn't just look, it's, the footage is sped up. Like, they recorded them mouthing the words slowly.
Yeah.
So they could speed up the footage so it matches the song. But I'm like, but they're walking down an alley.
Yeah.
There was no reason for it.
Bad editing, man.
It looked so stupid, and there was absolutely no reason for it. I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah. There's a lot of moments like that throughout the film where it's like, why did you make this choice? Like... We will get back to Jafar because that is one of my biggest pet peeves. I do want to talk about that, but this is including Jafar. So in the original Aladdin, Jafar dresses up or uses his magic to become an old beggar man.
Yeah,
he gets Aladdin out of jail. He gets him to the Cave of Wonders. He tells him that, you know, this is, you do this for me and I'll help you out.
Man, and just the feel of all of that.
Yeah, it's very off. Aladdin's like not really sure, but it's got this adventurous sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
So Aladdin gets in the cave. Everything happens the same way. The cave is melting and going away. And Aladdin is about to die. And in the original, Jafar, you know, has this great you know, reveal moment where it's like, oh my gosh, that's Jafar. And he's like about to kill Aladdin and Carpet saves him.
Uh-huh.
In this film, it's just like, hey, I'm Jafar. I'm this guy. And I want you to come out here with me to the cave. And then when it happens in this one, he's like, just it, you can see it's Jafar. And he's just like, give me the lamp. Come on, give me the lamp. And the same stuff happens. He falls and in the cave and Jafar doesn't get the lamp. But it's so much better in the original because it's got that intrigue and mystery and who is this guy?
And it's got just so much better. In this one, it has one of my most irritating movie cliches is Aladdin is jumping from stone to stone and all of a sudden he falls behind a cliff,
yeah.
And you don't see him.
And it's silent. He's dead. Oh, he's got to be dead.
But all of a sudden the music swells and up he flies on. I hate that gimmick.
It's so
much.
It's very cliche and it's very overused.
Oh, I hate it so much.
But yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's what we're talking about when we're saying that they added a whole bunch of stuff, but they took away from it. Because that scene is so much better in the cartoon the way it is.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the bigger issue, which is Jafar. Jafar is probably one of the worst things in this movie.
He is so weak.
He is the complete opposite of the eccentric, fun, engaging,
deep, creepy voice,
intimidating Jafar that we had in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
This one's very just like Aladdin. How are you?
He's a wet noodle.
He's a wet noodle. He has no personality. He's just like a basic, like, random guy, too. Like, he's like, I used to be a poor boy like you or something like that to Aladdin. I was like,
I'd much rather have a mustache twirling villain.
Yes, because Jafar is so engaging. You're like, wow, this is a really interesting, fun, bad guy.
You know what? It just reminded me. I remember when the first one came out, right before it came out, there was I guess it was in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story about it, and they had some shots from the movie and what they were showing. And this was so I was 12 when this movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
This was so cool to me. They had a shot of the inside the palace, like where the Sultan sat and the pillars next to him and all that. And it had, like, you know, the round but pointy at the top shapes and, you know, just very, I don't know, typical, like, that part of the world style.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to it was the shot. It was a shot of the same location, the same little throne and everything. But it was when Jafar is in charge and everything had been redesigned with, like, a serpent style.
Mm-hmm.
It was snakes everywhere.
And that dark red. In like crimson color. Yeah.
And as a 12-year-old, that always stuck with me. That detail, you know, because as a kid, you don't even think about the background. At that point, I just know characters and I wouldn't even give a second thought to the background. So reading this article and seeing the pictures showing how detailed the creators were with changing the entire background to match the evilness of that character, that really stuck with me. And I really appreciated it. And even that, it popped in my head while I'm watching this new one as it was getting to that point. And I'm like, man, when he took over, it was just kind of, again, it was just a letdown.
Yeah. Well, actually, when I was... You talking about that kind of brought it back to my memory. Like, the original's palace has such a more grand scale to it than this one does. Because it's got those huge pillars in there.
Yeah.
And the Sultan is such a little guy.
Yeah.
That, like, especially during the Prince Ali song towards the end when they barged their way into the palace.
Yeah.
Like, you can just see the massive, you know, the massive scale of the palace, the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, elephants are coming in there and all these, like, people dancing and everything. So the doors are huge.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's just like a room, basically. So I kind of have to take that away. Like I was talking earlier, I was like, the set design, but it's like, no, not really. It kind of takes away from it. but yeah, Jafar and Iago in this were so neutered, compared to their originals. And it just, it really made me sad. I mean, this kind of deals with Jafar, but not really. He's in the scene, so. But I felt like another scene that was so much better done in the original was the capture scene. Right after A Whole New World is over.
Oh, yeah.
He lets her off. He's entranced and fully embraced in love. And he goes back and he's just going down on carpet, and he gets to the ground, and those guards immediately get him.
Yeah, and we're just as surprised
out of nowhere. It's like, whoa, how the heck did they find? In this one, it's like there's a whole two scenes, and he's just like walking through the palace before these guards just walk up, and he's just like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Completely robs you of the moment, completely robs you of the suspense. Or you're just like, oh, okay.
This is more minor, but I also don't like when he's in the water and the genie's trying to save him, but, you know, he's unconscious, so he can't talk and say his wish.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they solved that in the cartoon so much better, because he actually, you know, his movements in the water, his hand actually rubbed the lamp. I'm sorry. That's how he initially got the genie out of the lamp.
Yeah.
I just, the whole, when the genie pulled out the contract in this one, and I don't know, that was just one of those scenes where they were just, I don't know, reaching too far to do something different.
Well, in this one, so the room that they kicked him out of was on the left side of the castle, and Abu and the carpet were on the right side of the castle. They brought him the lamp by throwing it into the ocean.
Yeah.
How did they know where he was? He was on another part of the castle.
That's a good point.
Just like out of nowhere in the same exact scene, he grabs the lamp, gets on the carpet, and jumps over there before he's thrown into the water. It's like, how do you even know what's happening?
Yeah. This is random, but I thought of it because of Aladdin. The scene where Jasmine is challenging him because she can't find
Ababa.
She can't find it on the map, and so he's trying to call out to the genie, like, hey, help me out. Genie is like in a completely other part of the palace, but he can hear him. That's what made me think of it, because they're just the disconnect, and how in the world does he hear him? But that whole segment,
I mean, that makes sense because of magic.
Well, but fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But that whole segment was so pointless. I thought it was so stupid. Oh, it's cute. There's a little cartoon genie on the map.
Oh, he's making a little Disneyland.
Who cares? The whole thing was pointless. Great. I didn't like that.
Yeah, it was it was more filler. I mean, there was a lot of filler in this movie, which is another, you know, check mark against it.
That too.
Yeah.
You know what? Older movies, like, they didn't have to be, like that one, the 92, the animated Aladdin, it's like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah.
Because that's like all they needed. 20.
Yeah.
That's all they needed. It's moving at a good pace all
they
the way through.
They tell the story.
And you get the whole story.
Yeah.
Nice and compact and nice. We have to drag things out so far now, and movies can't be good unless they're over 2 hours long. And
yeah.
Man, just tell your stinking story.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think that more movies should cut down on their filler and just tell the story. That's what we want to see.
Now, if you're talking about like a Lord of the Rings or an Avengers Endgame
or
something,
of course not.
I want a really long movie.
Well, true, yeah. If that story needs to be told in that amount of time, then sure.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like, let's cut down all the 2 hour movies to an hour and a half. I'm just saying, don't add so much filler to get that time frame. Nowadays I feel like most people would want an hour and a half movie, because people get on their cell phones in the middle of movies now, because nobody has any you know, any attention span. Yeah. Everyone's just like, this movie's boring. Let me get on my phone and ruin the experience for everybody else.
Yeah.
Because that's just how our society is, unfortunately.
Here's this is something else that bugs me in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We've beat the horse of they've removed all the magic mm-hmm. to death, but
we've said that a couple of times.
This is another example, and it just bugs me. And yeah. So in the animated one, when Aladdin and Jasmine are in the market and he's mm-hmm. helping her, and you know,
when that guy tries to cut off her hand,
yeah,
yeah. And
which they didn't do in this one because that's barbaric and racist.
That's barbaric and awful.
Aladdin reaches his hand out to her and he says, "Do you trust me?"
Mm-hmm.
And then, so later on, when he's acting as Prince Ali, mm-hmm. blah, 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 and he's on his magic carpet, and the exact same way, he leans mm-hmm. forward, puts out his hand the same way, the shot is the same, and he says, "Do you trust me?" And all of it together being exactly the same as in the marketplace was familiar to her,
mm-hmm.
and you see it in her eyes.
It was a callback, too,
in this stupid movie, once again. Oh, you people already know Aladdin, and you already know the stuff in the movie, so mm-hmm. we're going to pretend like this scene is magical, even though in the movie it really shouldn't be magical. In the marketplace, mm-hmm. at the beginning, all he said, because he was going to take her bracelet to mm-hmm. give to the market dude.
Yeah.
And so they've just met like 2 seconds ago,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, "Just trust me." And then she looks at him all wondrously and, ooh, it's a special moment. Why is that a special moment? That's not a special moment. The specialness of trust me comes way later. Mm-hmm. And they ruin it even more because when it happens again in this movie, it's not even done in the same way. They completely ruin that whole thing.
Yeah, because in the cartoon, it's done when they're fleeing the guards
mm-hmm.
to get from rooftop to rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because him just, "Here's your bracelet." It's like, yeah, it's because we're in a life-threatening situation. Yes, they both are. But what I'm saying is that there was definitely a setup. And the payoff comes later because it's the same. That's how she knows that he's Aladdin because right. he says the same exact thing.
The same look.
Yeah.
The same lean in.
The same movement.
Yep.
The same body movement.
Yep. And
he puts his hand out to her.
It's just another example of it. This movie feels like somebody that has like no love of films saw the cartoon Aladdin and said, "You know what? I can make my own and make some money."
Mm-hmm.
And so he took what he thinks is key pieces of the movie and just put them together to try to redo it, to make a copy. And none of it works because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't understand the heart of the mm-hmm. old movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, it's like a Michael Bay movie. I've said mm-hmm. this before, because the last night, Transformers, that's when it finally sunk in with me that the thing about Michael Bay is, and I would totally believe that this is true, it feels like he wakes up in the middle of the night
mm-hmm.
and he has some little idea that he had in a dream, like a building falling over and the people are trying to jump out. You know, he wakes up in the middle of the night with some random idea. He mm-hmm. scribbles it down on his notepad that's on his nightstand and he goes back to sleep. And then one day, he says, "Man, I need to make another movie." And he grabs that notepad that mm-hmm. has, you know, 30 different scribbles from 30 different dreams that he had. And mm-hmm. he just squishes them all together to make a movie. And it doesn't work. Each one of those things on their own
mm-hmm.
might be a good thing, you know, like that slow motion shot of a helicopter going by overhead. That's a cool looking shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other shots like when you just cram them together. Just because they it's each on their own look cool,
yeah.
Just squishing them all together doesn't make a good movie.
Mm-mm, no.
There's no
consistency,
and no passion or mm-hmm. heart or care.
Yeah,
that's what I feel about this movie. They had all the cookie cutter pieces that they thought the fans of the old movie would like, and they tried to copy it, but without really understanding why the old one is special.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, here's the thing. One of the biggest things about this movie...
Golly, this movie makes me upset.
one of the biggest things about this movie is that it has a director who has a style to it. Guy Ritchie has his own style.
I wouldn't have even known this was Guy Ritchie.
There's no Guy Ritchie in this film.
Yeah.
Comparing this to Sherlock Holmes or any of his other, like, British gangster films.
Yeah.
Even the film I didn't like he did, which was King Arthur. I mean, it does not feel like his movie at all. It just feels like... The problem is this feels like a corporate product. It does not feel like a director directed this.
Yeah.
It feels like he was there and Disney said, okay, we're going to say you directed this, but this is our picture.
And, you know, and that's weird to me because I would have understand this if they had used a different director. Because this movie felt like they were trying to avoid the controversy or fix the controversy of the old one, which was it's a Middle Eastern story set in a Middle Eastern city, even though it's made up, played by a bunch of white people. So they wanted to fix that with this movie. Let's have some Middle Eastern actors, etc.
Which I'm fine with.
But then they grabbed a white dude to direct it. So if this was their movie, the higher people, their project that they wanted to, you know, for PR purposes, have a bunch of, you know, diversity in the cast and crew.
Yeah.
And the director is just there to basically be a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they grab a white guy? It just seems like an odd choice to me.
Yeah. The problem is that Disney only cares about that stuff on a surface level.
And it's funny because I was reading about the controversy of it all, and apparently even with this casting, they're like, oh, well, Naomi Scott? I can't keep her name.
Naomi Scott. Yeah, you got it.
Oh, she looks Middle Eastern. She was raised in England. And then the dude, Aladdin.
Yeah, he's from Canada.
He's Canadian. So even the people... The main actors, who they purposely chose people of color or a different shade, it still doesn't even do what they were pretending to try to do.
And it's so weird how both them and even Jafar at times sound like they're using an American accent.
Yeah.
And everybody else is talking like super Middle Eastern.
I know.
It's so weird.
I know that there are actors and actresses... from that part of the world that they could have used if they really cared. I don't think they cared.
I think they as far as I can tell from the trailers, they did the same thing with Mulan. Like, not the same thing. I'm saying they did the opposite of with Mulan. Yeah. Like, they got actual, like, Chinese actors to play those parts. Like, why did they not?
And you
know why it is. It's because they can't sell it that way. Well, people are not going to go see it if it's, like, people they don't even know.
Well, the fake diversity or the fake whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Forced diversity.
It irritates me even more than the lack of diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that at all.
Yeah. A lot of properties have that now, unfortunately. But...
I think the problem is still at the very, very top, you've still got executives that are, they're strictly there to make money. They're running a company to make a profit. They don't care about this stuff down at this human level.
No, they don't. It's all money to them.
They
make it look
like they do, but wow, we're getting way off.
Are we? Well, what else is there really? I mean, something that both of you, excuse me.
I'm the only one here.
Both you and I thought about was just how the cinematography was bad.
Mm.
Just how dark it was. Everything was dark.
Yeah.
And it's something I brought up to you earlier, is a lot of Disney films in the past 4 years have been much darker than most films coming out. It's like they decide I'm talking about dark in the cinematography and just the way the film looks, like the lighting,
dark lighting,
yeah, and not color. Tone, but yeah. actual lighting. Yeah. And it's just it's really like difficult for me to understand why, because the original was so vibrant and full of color,
yeah,
and this one is just. Not.
Yeah, like we were talking earlier, one of the scenes where it definitely should have had color was the whole New World scene.
Mm-hmm.
They're flying around the whole world, and it's amazing and magical, and they're seeing all these beautiful places. Mm-hmm. No, this movie, it's like 10 o'clock at night, and they're flying in a one-mile radius, and there's zero color. And it's
everything is a blue haze.
Yeah.
There's even some scenes where you can't even see them because it's just the whole screen is this blue, hazy look to it. And it's just, it's really off-putting. It's like the fact that it looks bad, that it sounds bad because of the auto-tune song. And just the whole time I'm thinking, wow, this is terrible. This is not the cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, and you shouldn't be thinking that when you're watching something like this, but you just can't help yourself. So, yeah, the lighting is terrible in this movie. The score, like the background score, not the songs itself, was so unnoticeable. Like it wasn't grand. Yeah. I don't even know who did it. Was it Hans Zimmer, maybe?
I don't know.
I mean, he usually picks up the slack on stuff like this, so I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. It just, it's, when it comes down to it, it's an inferior product. And the sad thing about it is that you can go back and you can rewatch the original anytime and still enjoy it. I don't think that these live action remakes themselves really have a shelf life of 10 years.
You know,
I think past that, I don't think people are even, I mean, people will probably remember them, especially like younger kids and like people our age. Yeah. But after that, I don't think people are even going to care. They'll say, oh yeah, those live action remakes. Yeah. Those were, yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good question. This is something interesting, and I would really be curious to find out, like, what the, if you could do a poll from little kids, how popular this is. When we are scrolling in my house on Disney Plus, and I'm seeing, like, the old Aladdin, and I'm seeing, you know, Sword in the Stone, and 101 Dalmatians, and I'm constantly throwing those out, like, ooh, let's watch some, ooh, let's watch Bambi. Oh, let's watch, you know, 100, you know, whatever. My kids rarely want to. And then the other day, my daughter, who's 10, says she, and I'll add this in before I get there. When she was really little, the Little Mermaid was like her favorite Disney character.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole, it was a big, very long, years long ordeal before I finally got a copy of The Little Mermaid so she could finally watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, in the final scene on the boat, there was a scratch on the DVD, and all of a sudden it skipped to credits, and my poor little girl cried.
Oh, no.
It, I mean, it's just, it, that movie has just this very long
history.
Dramatic history in our house. Wow. So, yeah, it's on Disney Plus. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't want to. And this is multiple times, and I don't understand. And so finally, the other day, I asked her about it, and she tells me, this blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care so much for animated movies. She would rather watch live-action movies because they're more exciting.
Hmm.
And I think where she's coming from is like Pirates of the Caribbean and Marvel movies and even older ones like Flight of the Navigator and some old classics that I've shown them.
Yeah.
She enjoys those live action movies more. So it makes me wonder, like with this one, they just watched it for the first time. They finished it while we've been in here recording. So I'm curious to ask my kids how they felt about live-action Aladdin. They've all seen the animated one, but anyways, it just made me wonder, is this her generation? Do kids right now care more about these new live-action remakes versus the old animated ones?
Maybe.
I'm really curious about it. Because if so, then yeah, as they grow up, this version is going to be their beloved version, you know?
That's a good point. I mean, maybe that is the case.
I'm really curious to see. And it also begs the question.
Mm-hmm.
With this sequel coming out, I'm really curious how they're going to go with it. Is it going to be... a lot of the things that we're a lot of the things that we're complaining about, they could definitely fix in a second one. And I would be theoretically on board if it's actually a good movie. But yeah, I wonder about the story because the old one, the animated one, of course, had two sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Second one was crap. Third one was really good, surprisingly.
I did enjoy The King
of
Thieves.
For a straight to DVD or straight to home release, it was really good. But I'm like,
well, and it would brought Robin Williams back too.
Yeah. But I was like, would they remake a sequel? Would they do a remake sequel of an old sequel?
I don't know. I mean,
are they going to do a new story?
If they don't, I mean, I don't know really where they can take it. They've already released the genie. He's got his own family now. He's not magical anymore. He's a human. So, I mean, what can you really do with the story? I mean, you can't even do the original Jafar or the King of Thieves, with the genie at least, because he's a human.
Does he not have magic at the end of the live action one?
I don't
even remember.
I think he's completely human, because that's what he wants.
Because there was the whole, in that Return of the King, isn't that the one
Return of the King?
Oh, which... man.
The King of Thieves?
Oh my gosh.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. I got really confused there.
It's like, that's a different movie.
I couldn't even find my way back. Aladdin number 3.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one where Aladdin's dad came back?
Yeah. Aladdin and the King of Thieves.
So, I mean, they could do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I am... Like I said, I'm just getting tired of the live action remakes, and I mean,
and
the problem is that if people are going to keep paying, then Disney's going to keep making them.
Yep, there's a bunch coming too, because of course we have Mulan.
Yeah,
they've got Lilo and Stitch,
Little Mermaid,
Pinocchio, Little Mermaid.
I heard today Tangled is going to be remade.
Tangled,
which
you know her hair is going to be CGI.
Yeah.
The
films they should do it with and really just put all the money into it is Atlantis, The Lost Empire, and Treasure Planet. Those two films definitely did not get the recognition that they should have at the time.
Yeah.
And to make them in live action, like just watching the sequences in the films themselves and thinking about that in live action, I think that would blow anything away.
Absolutely get behind Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
Atlantis, I think I enjoyed it okay, but I only saw it the one time. It didn't really...
You should rewatch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Treasure Planet was awesome. I love that
Treasure Planet
movie.
Was really good.
I would still, if they did a live action of that, I would still stick to, I want them to readapt it. Don't make the same movie.
Yeah.
Definitely I'd like, you know,
not
I,
to do that.
Gosh, a lot of it I would want them to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, I know I'm getting into, like, everybody has their own opinion on what stays and what should be new, but,
keep the story, you know,
yeah.
Get rid of the filler.
Yeah.
And make changes where changes should be. If, like you said, a reinterpretation of the story.
But keep the focus on the story. Don't don't try to tweak it for political reasons.
Oh yeah, definitely don't do that.
I hate that too. Stop using movies for your
messages.
Yeah.
Agendas.
whether I agree with them or not, I just don't feel like that's the place.
It's not.
It feels too forced.
It's not the place.
I just want a story.
But I think we've rambled on enough about Aladdin and...
I think we've covered it.
The original is superior. Go definitely and watch that if you haven't. If you've never seen Aladdin, check it out. It's a fantastic, magical adventure with wonderful characters, great animation, wonderful music, and you just can't go wrong with Aladdin. The new one, if you want to see an inferior product, then, you know, give it a shot, I guess. But it's not the same, and it's not as good, and there's a lot wrong with it. So take that as you will. But yeah, those are our thoughts on Aladdin and Aladdin, the original.
Yep. Thanks for sticking it out with us and putting up with all of our ranting. I was angry in this one.
A little bit.
Stupid movie.
It's okay, though.
But I'm still a happy person.
Need to get it out.
All right. Well, again, please look for us on social media and give us a follow on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, and be looking for new episodes coming soon.
We've got a lot coming out this year. We've got a lot of plans, and we're hoping that you'll be with us through the journey. So,
yeah. It'll be a whole new world. I'm sorry.
Oh, Brandon, why did you do that? Anyways, have a wonderful week, folks.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.